Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word is truth. We thank you, Lord, that we begin this new year with the promise that you will keep your promises, that you have a plan for us, and that you give us the power to live out and walk that plan. Lord, today as we celebrate this new year of the church, may we be ever mindful that we should not be surprised, but we should wait and watch with expectation. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Happy New Year! I just love this. Ever since I've been as a youth too, but ever since I've been a pastor, I always love the fact that we get ahead of the rest of society and the rest of the world by celebrating New Year's at the beginning of Advent. Isn't that awesome? We just celebrate the year of our Lord's church, 2017, before everybody else. And what I love about it is it ushers in for us a time for new possibilities, new opportunities to recognize that we are a new person. We have a fresh start. It's one thing we think about every time we come to worship and every time we partake of word and sacrament. Don't we hear the words, we have a fresh start, we have a new beginning, we are made new, we are cleansed, we have a, you know, and yet there's something about a new year when we all come together and we celebrate this that is a good reminder for us that God has decided in his wisdom and has chosen to keep us here for another year. When we get to New Year's, we'll read that lesson from Peter's letters to the church where he says, God is not slow in keeping his promises, but he is patient. Why? Yeah. He does not want anyone to perish, but he wants to give people an opportunity for salvation. He wants all people to be saved. So he gives us more time. He's not slow, but he's patient. He's giving us more time. And so I'm thankful that we are here today. I'm thankful that each and every one of us, each and every person here, and even those that are away for Thanksgiving, everyone here, God has chosen to keep for this time in history. For this time in history. I want you to think about that. It's not the easiest time to be in the Church of Jesus Christ, is it? Around the world, there's more persecution of Christians than there ever has been. There are more people killed for their Christianity today than there ever has been. But in the Western world, we're not suffering from that. What we're suffering from is even worse. And I know that you're going to say, oh, what do you mean it's even worse? I think apathy and complacency is even worse, because isn't that what Jesus is talking about? Isn't that what St. Paul is talking about? They're talking about waking up out of our complacency, out of our apathy. And it's so easy for us to become complacent, isn't it? I went to see Timothy and Megan and our grandsons. I left last Wednesday, so that's what Brian preached last week. And I got back Wednesday early in the morning. And I asked the Lord, I said, you know, I'm going to have this time because I was doing a lot of driving. I went from Calgary down to a place called Sparwood. You got to look up on the map. It's right underneath Banff. And then I drove all the way back, stopped at Tim Hortons to have coffee with mom and dad, and then went all the way up to Camrose, where I'm originally from. And then went over to where Laura's from, and then drove all the way back. And I said to the Lord, I said, I'm going to have all this time. I want to spend time with you. I want you to give me some words to share with the congregation about the new year. What's your word for us? What do you want us to hear? And I'll tell you something, just to confess, to be honest with you, I listen to a lot of ABBA. Why? I have no idea. Just showed up. I procrastinated. You think that's funny, hey? I procrastinated. I kept saying, Lord, I got lots of time. I got 6 hours to drive. So I just kind of listened to ABBA for two of them. I still don't know why that showed up. It was on Prime Music, and it just showed up, and I thought, oh, cool. So anyways, brought me back. Long ways back. But I'm just being honest with you. I procrastinate. I don't know why. It just, but it was interesting because even in my procrastination, the Lord kept bringing words to me. And I kept asking, Lord, is that really what you want me to share? Is that really? I mean, it's kind of weird. It's not exactly what I would have thought. But I think he was telling me that you have a very difficult task in this life, because unlike places where you're actually being persecuted and being dragged out and beheaded and killed and all these other things that happen with martyrs, you're dealing with people that still think they have a lot of time. They still think they have a lot of time. They still think that they don't have a sense of expectation. I mean, look at what St. Paul says here. He says, the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. He wants us to have a sense of expectation. He wants us to wake up every day and thank the Lord that we can put on Christ, that we can walk properly, that we can recognize what we have and put on the armor of light. What a blessing it is that we should know that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, that we are in a spiritual battle, and that we should know that we have the upper hand because Jesus won. And we walk around like we're losing. And then he tells us to watch. And you heard the reading that I read, that we read from the gospel lesson. It says, in the days of Noah, like in the days of Noah. And then it says, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. I have to be honest with you. When I was a young man, a boy, my dad and mom, we moved to Camrose so we could go to Bible school, and they used to call it Inspirational Hour, which was on Sunday nights, and it never, I don't know what it is about Lutherans, but they lie, because it was definitely never an hour. I mean, we're talking 2 hours, 3 hours, kind of like, come to a prayer meeting, it'll be over in an hour. Yeah, right. You know? And so we would go to these inspirational hours, and they would be literally hours. And every once in a while, I would get excited because they would say, we're going to show a movie. And those days, that was a big deal because you had a screen and you had these things that went around. Everybody's, all these kids, there's not very many kids in here that would remember this. And every once in a while, it would come, you know, anyways. And they decided to show this movie, and it was called A Thief in the Night. I don't know if you ever heard of that. And all I remember is it was supposed to be this wonderful movie, and we were so excited, and it started out with this guy is shaving, and all of a sudden he's taken, and his razor, the electric razor, falls into the sink, and his wife finds his razor in the sink, and he's gone. Kind of like the Left Behind series, you know? Well, that wasn't very comforting for me. As a matter of fact, it kept me up at nights. I mean, I was young. I did not want to go. I did not want to be taken. It did not sound exciting to me. So whenever I read this verse, I didn't get excited about this. I always thought, this is bad. This is scary. This causes fear. And yet there's nothing for us to be fearful about, right? It's just like a new year. We have this wonderful opportunity. We're to live a life of expectation. We're to stay awake and know that the Lord is coming back soon, and that the fact that he's given us another year is just a blessing and a gift, but that he has plans for us. But yet, we heard a prophecy about waiting. We've heard waiting has purpose. I like this from C.S. Lewis. I am sure that God keeps no one waiting unless he sees that it is good for him to wait. Yeah. There's a theme here, right? Waiting on the Lord is good. But waiting is never easy. We become weary of doing good, don't we? We get lackadaisical. I remember as a young person, and I don't know how true this story is, so take it for what it is, but I remember as a young person in Toulon Elementary School hearing a story about the superintendent who came around to the schools. And when a superintendent came to the schools, and when you were in small schools in the country like we were, it was a big deal because these districts were really big. And so everybody wanted everything to be just right. The principal was stressed out. The teachers were stressed out. Everybody was stressed out because the superintendent was coming. And the story goes that the superintendent came to a school of a very young teacher who was having a lot of difficulty with discipline and so on in the schoolroom. And instead of getting upset, took out a $100 bill, placed it on the teacher's desk, and said, "If you keep this room clean, if you keep your desk organized, if you do all these things, I will come back and the students who do this will get this bill." Well, I'm not going to tell you what date it is, but $100 was a lot more money than it is today. And when I remember this story, when it was first told, I was thinking about how many double bubble bubble gum I could get with this. Remember double bubble where you got the comic strip in it? Yes, it was very good. You get 2-for-1 deal. It was very good. And I remember thinking to myself, that's a lot of bubble gum. But the problem was, as the story goes, that the superintendent never came back. And the schoolroom, one of the problems with the schoolroom was it was mostly made up of boys. Monica. Yeah, it's mostly made up of boys. And you can imagine what happened, right? Pretty soon someone said to someone, "I don't think he's coming back. I think we're doing this stuff for nothing. We're never going to get that $100. He ain't even coming." So pretty soon, people gave up. Everything started to go back to normal. Except there was one girl. One girl. Had to be a girl, you know. Had to be a girl. One girl who kept her desk just perfect. And it worked so hard to keep things just perfect. Who even went up and offered the teacher help with cleaning the blackboard. Now, I know some of you are going to find this who grew up with whiteboards. This is kind of weird, right? And even went out and, get this, cleaned the brushes. You're going, "Oh, wow. Do you understand what that is, Jack?" Yeah, it was really not something I look forward to. Cleaned the brushes. And it was amazing because she kept doing it right to the end of the year. And guess who showed up? Superintendent. And she got the $100. And it was such an inspiration that it was still this story was still going around when I was there in grade 3. It was still going around because it was an inspiration. And yet, how many of us, we've heard the story so many times, Jesus is coming back. Yet how many times in our regular everyday life do we really think about that? It's kind of like, you think that's funny, right? Don't you think that's kind of humorous? I mean, we know he's coming back. He's told us over and over again that he's coming back. Yet how many times do we just go about our day like, yeah. It's kind of as foolish as thinking about how people are always surprised when they build a house on a floodplain. And they get flooded. They're like, "Oh!" And you're going, Or the people live in an earthquake zone. And an earthquake comes and they're all surprised. They go, "Ah!" And they go, Or even better, someone who builds their house at the bottom of a volcano. When we went to Mount St. Helens, we heard about this gentleman who stayed there when it was about to blow, right? Have you ever been to Mount St. Helens? He stayed there because he didn't believe that it would blow, because it never had in his lifetime. And according to him, his lifetime was a long time. People live in hurricane region, and they're surprised. We shouldn't be surprised, folks. Should we? We shouldn't be surprised. We're supposed to be expectant. We're supposed to be ready. We're supposed to be awake. We're supposed to be alert. We're supposed to be watching and praying. That's right. That's why I live in Michigan. In Ypsilanti or surrounding area. Just snow. That is why we need to celebrate Advent and the church's new year. We need to remember to whom we belong, in whom we believe, and whom we desire to become like as we grow in discipleship. That's why it's an opportunity. That's why it's exciting. To whom, in whom, and like whom. We belong to Christ because of what happened in the past. He kept the promises of the Old Testament. He came in Bethlehem as he promised. We believe in Christ because he makes his presence known to us in his word and sacrament here in the present. And we become like Christ as we put on Christ Jesus and walk with him. Isn't that awesome? It's amazing. So what about this new year and the new you? We celebrate this new year knowing that it is not a mistake that the Lord has chosen us to be here. We celebrate that we are made new every time we are forgiven and cleansed. We are called to remember the Lord is coming back and we are to be ready. So as we watch, we grow. And this is what the Lord gave me. And I don't know, I haven't figured it all out yet, but these are the words the Lord gave me. Preaching, teaching, and healing. Preaching, teaching, and healing. And so I'm trying to figure it out, worshiping, growing, and serving, you know, how does this work? So I'm going to ask you to join me on this journey since it is the new year and we've got this whole year ahead of us as long as the Lord doesn't return, because he can return any moment. But as long as he doesn't return, we've got this year ahead of us. And so I am committing to you to preach on St. Matthew this year and some passage of John, because it does have John in there for some reason. And I'm going to commit to you because I'll tell you something. I kind of said to the Lord when he put this on my heart, I said, hey, you don't think I preach? Like, this is a no-brainer. But then he said, yeah, are you really listening? You can preach. Everybody preaches. Y'all preach, right? Preach by your actions. You preach by your words. You preach to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors. Y'all preach. But the question was, I believe the Lord put on my heart was, are you listening? Because I got words to share, and I want you to commit to that. And so that's what I'm committing to. And then teaching on discipleship so that we may be awake and ready. If there's any weakness that I see in what we've tried to do over the last 2 years or last 3 years is, I know we've had a lot of hiccups and stuff, but one of the things is we've tried to offer opportunities for teaching. And I think that we're looking for new means. Right now we're working on Delta, which is a program that I've been working with other pastors on. And it's really exciting because everything is online. So we can actually listen to watch the instruction online, and we can do the stuff on PDF format on our computers, tablets, or whatever. And then we can just gather together, for half an hour or 45 minutes or whatever time people have, and just discuss what we've learned. Because we've tried to offer. We offer adult Bible class. We offer Tuesday night Bible class, Wednesday early morning. Steve is here every Wednesday early morning, right? Laura's here on Tuesday nights. Norma's here on Wednesday nights. James is here on Thursday nights. I mean, we offer lots of opportunity, but the reality is, with everybody's schedules, it's hard. And we have got to be teachable. We've got to have the ability to be taught. And that's what the Lord put on my heart. He says, you got to figure out ways to connect in this area. So we're going to do some teaching. And then the final one that really came through loud and clear, and this was something that at first I was like, what exactly do you mean? And the word that came was healing. And I believe the Lord is calling us as a congregation, a faith family, who highlights healing, reconciliation, and supernatural signs and wonders. We need to see these more and more. I talked to my nephew and niece that I did the wedding for a year ago. And they wanted to talk to me about baptism. So when I was in Calgary, I spent some time with them and I talked with them. And what was really interesting is they're going to a Presbyterian church and they want to get the baby baptized. And cute little boy. And they were asking, I was talking about it, and one of the things, they went from a charismatic church to a Presbyterian church. And the Presbyterian church they're going to is a dispensational Presbyterian. Do you know what I mean by that? Dispensationalism is where there are certain times in the church's history. The time of the church was with the time of the apostles. The time of the apostles is when the spiritual gifts were rampant. Tongues and prophecy and all the spiritual gifts, whether it's Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, or Ephesians 4. All those gifts were prevalent in the church during the time of the apostles. But they use 1 Corinthians 13, where it says tongues will cease and all this, to justify a dispensational period of time that's called the time of the church. And they say that the spiritual gifts have ended, and that the Bible is the power now, okay? And dispensationalism is condemned in the Lutheran confessions, by the way. So we don't believe that. And so she turns to me, my new niece, and says to me, well, where can I find a charismatic Lutheran church? We like what you're talking about. And guess what I had to say? It'd be a long commute. In all of Calgary, big city, in all of Calgary, there is not one charismatic Lutheran church. And I thought I was being arrogant by saying that, so I confessed. I went to Camrose, and I talked to the pastor there, and I talked to the people there, and I said, am I right? Because I know all the pastors in Calgary, and I don't know of anybody. I don't know any church where they could go and feel comfortable asking questions about the spiritual gifts and using their spiritual gifts and expecting signs and wonders, expecting healing, and have people pray over them, and all the stuff that we take for granted, kind of. And then he said, no, you're right. Not one. Not one in any of the synods. And there's many. Not one. So brothers and sisters, we have something that God has given to us. And I don't know, I mean, I think it's because of what God has done over the years here and because of people's faithfulness, but God has given us something special. And I believe what the Lord was telling me is we need to take advantage of that as an opportunity and dig in and help people to see what a blessing it is. Because it's not just healing supernaturally. I mean, I've been healed supernaturally. I came through, the Lord healed me. But I think it's healing relationships. It's healing spiritual things. There's so much healing that needs to happen. You know, I don't know if you know this, but exorcisms are happening at a far more alarming rate than we have ever seen in North America. I don't know if you realize this. So healing and deliverance is real. And we've got people here who have been trained. So let's take advantage of it. We've got a school here where I think there are people who need this. So I'm going to commit to you that this year will be one that will be preaching, and it's not just going to be me. It'll be all of us, you know, preaching, teaching, and healing. Those three things. Can we commit to asking the Lord, how do you want us to grow in these three areas? Can you help me with this? Can we do this together? Because I think, I don't know, like I kept saying, Lord, don't you mean prayer? I thought that would be easier. And he said, no, I mean healing. I'm like, don't you mean kind of like community, you know, service, you know? I mean healing. I'm like, okay, I get it. Just, I'm kind of slow. Because there's so much under healing, isn't there? And quite frankly, it requires humility and it requires teachability. Requires teachability from the Lord and from others. It's what Jesus did. My question, are you ready? Are you awake? Are you watching? Are you prepared? I hope the answer is yes, because the Lord has big things in store. He hasn't left us here by mistake. He has a purpose, and it's because he wants to do amazing things through his people here across the resurrection and through his body. Here in Washtenaw County, Michigan, United States, and around the world. Amen.